Welcome back to the THB Strength Podcast. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about tendon stiffness and how important it is, and if stiffer tendons are better, and how important it is for athletes. But before we do that, we want to give a huge shout out to our sponsors over at THB Strength, the premier jump coaching service in the entire world. If you're looking to jump higher, get more athletic, and stay healthy, go to THBstrength.com. Right now, we're running a special for $99 a month, which is approximately 1/7 the price it used to be.
And if you use our affiliate code, THP.
I don't know. I didn't even know there was 10%
off your first month.
I didn't even know there was an affiliate code.
I don't know.
That isn't an affiliate code. That's just a discount code.
It's a discount code. I was pretending like we were affiliated with the product.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. Okay. I didn't know we had a discount code. Head coaches, Isaiah Rivera and John Evans, and then our coach in training, Austin Burke, will be assisting you in achieving all of your athletic goals. That said, let's get to it. Boys, what do we want to talk about? Whoa, you good?
I was about to die.
Okay, yeah, all right. Tendons. What do we think about tendons? Relevant tendons. We got the Achilles, we got the patella, we got the hamstring tendon. Isaiah, you've been reading about tendons, haven't you, recently?
I have.
What have you learned?
I know that tendons differ in properties from muscles. Well, I guess first we have to define what a tendon even is. And
there you go. What have you been learning about tendons?
It's a tendon, for those of you that know, is a muscle. It's the in-between point between a muscle and a bone. A muscle, when it contracts, it pulls on the bone, it allows you to move all your limbs, and the tendon's what's pulling on that bone. And tendons and muscles have different properties. The coefficient of stiffness in a tendon is constant. You can't change it. But the coefficient of stiffness in a muscle changes depending on its tension. So the harder you contract your muscle, the stiffer it becomes. And that has huge implications for performance later on. Generally, you always hear coaches mentioning you want stiffer tendons, or maybe not coaches, but just people in general saying that you want stiffer tendons. Is this necessarily true, John? Do you always want stiffer tendons?
Stiffer is not always better. Stiffer is not always better. You know, it's not whether it's bigger, it's how you use it, okay? So if you are a very stiff athlete, sorry. Okay, so if you have really, really stiff tendons, you might run into issues, especially depending on where that tendon is located. Tendons don't really care about the type of. You good?
Dude, I think when you drop that, like lean back a little bit, I go flying.
I don't think we're going to flip. I think we're good. We're sturdy. All
right. Sorry.
So if you, it doesn't matter what type of contraction you have. You could have an isometric, you could have a concentric, you could have an eccentric muscle contraction. Tendons don't care. All they care about is the amount of force going through it or the tension going through it. And that determines how much it will stretch and thus how much energy it's going to store and then subsequently release. So tendons that are very, very, very stiff are going to have, they may or may not stretch very much. And
also, we should also define what is even the benefit in stretching a tendon. Like, what's the purpose behind it?
So if you stretch a tendon, it can store energy and it can release energy because it is non-contractile faster than a muscle can. Muscles are limited in their rate of contractility, right? They can't essentially shorten infinitely fast, but tendons are very, very quick at shortening because they're non-contractile. So it's basically this material that your muscle is connected to, and as a result, your muscle is going to determine, you know, how much that stretches. But the rate at which you have deformation and how much energy you get out of it is determined by the tendon, how thick it is, what it's made of, and how long it is.
And so that's what elasticity is. Like elasticity is how much material wants to return to its original length,
or shape. It's deformation. It's stress strain. Yep. So it's like, how much does it deform and how much energy you get out of it? and what on the return, how much do you get as well? So there's some concepts that are pretty complex that I'm not even going to pretend to fully understand. One of them is hysteresis, which is like when it does deform and then return to its normal shape, how much energy do you lose to heat? And how does that change when you repeatedly load it? How does it change when you load it fast versus slow? That plays a role, right? And so you obviously want an efficient transfer of energy. That way you're able to get as much out of the jump as possible. So your muscles play a big role in determining that, but also, you know, in terms of the tendon, what it's made of, like I said, how stiff that tendon is. But stiffer is not always better, because if you don't apply enough force, you might not deform the tendon at all. So if you have a super, super stiff tendon, you actually might not be able to deform it or deform it much from the muscle, or you might not be able to continue to deform it through whatever muscle contraction you're doing, thus not really getting you much energy out of it.
Whereas I think the best way to put it, describe the worst type of athlete.
Oh, the worst type of athlete is someone whose tendons are impossibly stiff. They do not budge, and then their muscles are very, very weak and also have very low rates of force development. So if you have no ability to stretch the tendon and you are not very good at generating force eccentrically, then you're probably not going to be able to deform the tendon at all, and you're not going to be able to store energy and use that energy to jump upwards.
And then can you describe, because I think this will help everybody understand the concept too, can you describe what the ideal tendon and force generating properties are for like basketball player and for a high jumper,
okay,
sprinter? Like how would you change their tendon properties?
So I think like for athletes that don't have a lot of time to produce force, like in basketball, your success is dictated by how quickly you can do something or get someone off balance and cut around them or move around them. And so the time intervals under which you're functioning are really short. To be successful in a sport where you don't have a lot of time to do something, you need to have really high rates of force development. However, because you don't have a lot of time, the muscle can't produce, it doesn't have time to produce a lot of force, right? So if you, you know, and usually there's not big change of directions or there's not a lot of time to store a lot of energy either. You can't.
Or like space.
Yeah, you don't have space to generate momentum and use it to your advantage, which is what happens in high jump or dunking, you know, where you have a lot of time and a lot of space to build up a lot of energy that you can use during the takeoff. Basketball, you don't have that luxury. So you're basically, holy shit.
That was a really loud car.
What if we just saw a cop just blitz by? That was like a charger. Anyway, so if you're a basketball player and you're cutting or changing direction, you're basically relying on your muscles' ability to generate concentric force. You don't have much of a pre-stretch. You don't have much of the augmentation that happens from a stress shortening cycle because you don't have a lot of time to stretch the tendon. You don't have a lot of force to stretch the tendon. So the more you can pull concentrically with the muscle and stretch the tendon from doing that, the better off you're going to be. If your tendon's too stiff, you're not going to get any energy from it. And so what needs to happen is you need a relatively soft tendon that the muscle can tug on really, really easily, so you're able to get a lot of energy return out of the tendon. Now, if you're a high jumper, you need a really, that's like complete opposite basically, right? Not complete opposite, but it's very different. You need a lot of force, and you need a lot of stiffness in the tendon so that you're able to maximally produce a shit ton of force on the ground. And you have you have as much time as you want to do that. So if you take a full run up that takes you 30 seconds, but it wouldn't take 30 seconds, probably take 8 or something like that, that's fine. It doesn't matter. All the momentum you use in the run up and you build into the takeoff, and then, you know, your muscle strength also has to be super high to handle it. That's going to really benefit you, because if you're a high jumper at the elite level, you're probably super, super powerful, both eccentrically, concentrically, and isometrically. So we don't fully understand what happens in the muscle, at every muscle fascicle, meaning the actual contractile part during a takeoff, but we know that the muscle can produce a shit ton of force during that activity. So they have to be super strong, my guess is eccentrically and isometrically, to handle it, and then continue to generate force through the takeoff, and a stiffer tendon is gonna be more beneficial. So in their case, they're super stiff tendons, and they have very, very, very explosive and strong muscles to be able to continue to not only handle the momentum of their takeoff foot hitting the ground, but they can continue to produce force through the takeoff and maximize the energy that is stored in the tendon and utilize it and so very efficiently.
So I guess the answer to the question, I guess first it should be like, do you even want stiffer tendons? Like, you should look at the activity you're doing and then decide. Remember, the whole point of getting a stiffer tendon is because you can stretch it more and it'll store more energy and it'll hypothetically make you jump higher than if you were just concentrically pushing up. But if you are not strong enough and you're in a sport like basketball where you don't have a lot of time, it actually might be detrimental to have too stiff of a tendon. What do you do if you're that athlete and your tendons are too stiff?
Get your muscles so explosive and strong that you can generate a lot of force despite that.
Yeah.
That's generally kind of, or you play to your strengths, right?
And I think that's also the benefit of having good jump technique.
Yeah.
Is you're able to eccentrically load even more.
You probably have to pick movement strategies that really favor you, you know, so you'd have to be a different type of player. And if you're at that level, you know, the NBA level especially, you're probably already doing that. Like, I would think James White has super stiff tendons. He's not going to really perform well off vert. You know, he's probably not going to perform well off a static change of direction or something like that. But if he's a guard and he's bringing the ball up the court or something like that.
On a fast break.
Yeah, he has a lot of momentum he can work with. And so he can use that to his advantage. You know, if you're someone like, I'm trying to think of like Steph Curry or something like that, he's probably one of those guys that doesn't have insanely, insanely stiff tendons. He's able to use his tendon properties to his advantage and change of direction really effectively. You watch him try to get open, or you guys have probably seen the clips where it's him just trying to get an open three, and he's just moving around screens left and right, change of direction, being really shifty on the court. And he gets typically a lot of open shots. Reason being, his change of direction ability is really, really impressive, and his tendons are probably such that it's beneficial for him, or he's able to get open, right? That's the type of player he is. If you're looking at someone like, I was trying to think of someone who's like short, stocky, doesn't have like a ton of vertical, can't really do anything on the court, but is like, you know what I'm talking about?
Not Jalen.
Stephen Green. Think of Stephen Holmes, but on the basketball court. Like, does that even exist?
Not really.
Yeah, that doesn't really, that's not even really a thing.
It would have to be, it would probably be some dude who's like just shoot threes all day, but you take him outside of the court and tell him to go dunk, he might be really athletic.
He might be a freak.
I've seen guys like that.
Really?
Not. I don't think in the NBA, but I've seen like just players that you would never expect to be able to dunk, and you freaking take him outside of the court. Nick Briss is actually kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like, so in a half court setting, he's not going to be dunking.
No, he won't. No.
But you put him on a fast break. Or in between games.
Yeah, Nick is probably the best example of
that. He's going to fly.
Yeah, he'll fly. And then he's shifty, though. Like, he has really good movement patterns and stuff.
Yeah.
But he does something interesting. He moves almost exclusively on his toes. And he doesn't – laterally, you're not going to see him get into these wide splits that, like, Steph Curry would get into and things like that. He's typically going to stay nice and high and kind of almost jump into changes of direction so he's able to load his tendons.
Yeah. So with the meta for, like – because the average viewer is probably going to be someone that's just trying to dunk, right? Would the ideal scenario be, I mean, one, you want to get your RFD really super freaking high up. So whatever tendon property you have, you still want to be able to stretch them. And then after that, I guess it is beneficial. Like, take someone like, from in my case, probably would benefit from getting stiffer tendons as long as I can keep my peak force high enough where I can stretch them. What is the answer to how do you get stiffer tendons in that scenario?
Strength work. Strength work is pretty clear cut in terms of increasing tendon stiffness.
And what I kind of strength work?
So there's two things that matter when it comes to changing a tendon's properties, right? One is time and one is tension. The type of muscle contraction doesn't freaking matter. You can do isometric, you can do eccentric, you can do concentric. It doesn't matter. That matters because biomechanically when we're doing activities, we need to use an eccentric muscle contraction. But if you only cared about the tendon, it's just force, right? Mm. So like a distance runner, for example, right? They have incredibly stiff tendons, super stiff tendons, right? Why is that? Well, because they're impacting the ground however many times a week at a pretty high force with pretty high rate of force development, right?
Yeah.
So the rate of stretch probably also maybe plays a role, but like maybe the rate of deformation matters too, to an extent, because that's also going to change the tendon property. But if you just wanted to get stiffer tendons, you just need a shit ton of tension in it for long periods of time and relatively quickly, happening really, really frequently, right?
So with jumping a lot?
Jumping a lot is going to give you stiffer tendons.
What about for the Achilles? What would happen to your tendon properties if you're doing a lot of like heavy calf raises? Let's say like sets of five for a month.
Sets of five? Yeah, you're probably, that would also do it. That would also really stiffen the Achilles. Like
Is there anything that will make the tendon compliant? Like if you want more compliant tendons, is that even possible? Or are they just going to stiffen up over time as you load them?
Maybe stretching, not loading it. Light loading really slowly. Really, really, really slowly. Yeah. Really submaximal. I would think that submaximally loading it really, really slow, where the cross bridging, I forget what it's called. There's a name for it. Oh my gosh. There's a name for when you load it really, really slowly, and basically the cross bridges break, and it kind of like increases the compliance over time. Yeah. Like the stress shielding breaks apart. Keith Barr talks about it. I saw Ben Moxness talk about it on his story the other day. But that's good for rehab, but it's not really good for performance. So if you only did really, really, really slow reps submaximally,
yeah,
like basically tendon rehab type stuff, that could potentially, because you're not meeting the threshold for tendon adaptation, right? Your force is really low. Your rate of force development is really low. And you have a decent amount of time, but, it's not a meaningful.
So what I'm getting from this is, like, they're going to stiffen up over time, but at the end of the day, getting better at producing force and producing it fast is always going to be king.
Yeah.
And it's mainly your tendon properties are 99% determined by your genetics.
I think it is, but it's modifiable. Like, plyos we see change joint stiffness properties. We see performance change. It's really hard to measure tendons in those activities because the tests are usually really shitty. Right?
But you should never be worried about, like, remember our example of the stiff tendon athlete sucks at producing force?
Right.
His abilities to produce force is going to improve at a faster rate than his tendon is stiffening up, right?
Oh, it should, yeah, it should. I mean, unless you're neurally really shitty, like your nervous system is just whack,
at that point,
you've done something.
Take drugs.
I don't even know. You probably need to take cocaine or something like that to get your nervous system to activate. That'd be like the only way. You need a crazy stimulant to get your central nervous system to recruit force.
Demonetize,
yeah. You need a stimulant, a very strong stimulant to get it to produce, to get your nervous system upregulated, or you need to be studied.
Yeah.
It's like, see why you can't activate your neuromuscular system effectively. Maybe the sensitivity to receptors is downregulated. Like, when we see a neuron fire, it gets a bunch of chemical impulses that add up, they're graded, and then, you release chemicals from through a synapse that connects on the other side of the neuron, and then that, chemicals are coming into another receptor, and then the whole process is happening over and over again. Down all the way through the nerves into the muscle, where calcium is released in the muscle, and then the muscle contracts, actin and myosin bind, and then that process happens. So maybe that's where they suck.
Yeah.
Maybe the chemicals they either don't have a lot of that chemical in their body. Maybe the neurons are thin. Maybe, right? Because we see that type 2 fibers have alpha motor neurons, which means they're thicker and better at propagating action potentials.
Yeah.
They're more effective at doing it. They're better at getting the graded potentials. They're better at having the potassium and sodium. They're better at moving those across the neurotransmitter. It has like a membrane. So maybe that's one of the reasons why. But at the end of the day, if you're training to be more explosive and your intent is really high, you're going to be training that to be better and more effective and happening faster. So at the end of the day, you always want to do that. But if you're hurt all the time, and maybe this is like the caveat, is injury is going to make that difficult, right? If I told you to go high intent on every single exercise, what would happen?
Get hurt.
You're going to get hurt. So you can't necessarily do that. Some athletes want to try, and there's one guy right now, Hideaki, who's trying it. I was like, yeah, you can try to do super high intent activity, super high velocity activity the whole time, but it's high risk, right? And if you're at that point where you're kind of plateauing and you're healthy, it's a good thing to employ. Or if you want to even take it a step further, you could do complexes, supersets of high intent activity with high intent plyometric or something, yeah. Right? So you're kind of surfing the ends of the curve. You're actually trying to push everything up when you're doing that, right? Yeah. But it's dangerous. The reward is high, but the risk is also high. So I, at a point, maybe that's not worth it. The more compliant thing, I don't know. Typically, we don't want to see more compliant tendons. That's yeah. not usually good. But we know that loading it under high force conditions is typically
so it all comes down to get way better at producing force, baby. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to train my ability to produce force very quickly.
Yeah, I think we're good. Yeah, that was interesting. Austin, anything that you'd like to add as someone who is not formally trained in exercise physiology but has been coaching for a while?
Dude, I just want to train, man. I'm antsy. I've been antsy this whole time. I'm not going to lie.
Austin hates
meditation, man. You've got to observe the antsiness.
Anyways, yeah, that's the podcast, guys. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. If you are a physics nerd, like we know our friend Sam is, make sure you leave any of your comments, and Ben as well.
We learn from the comments.
We think they're really interesting. If you guys have a useful piece of feedback, or you're a biologist or physiologist, go ahead, share it. I would be curious to know if there's something that, you know, we said that was incorrect. You know, one of the things I'm really curious about is, you know, that point where the tendon deforms and it stores a lot of energy. I don't even know if we fully understand that. So that all being what it is, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Oh, and if you're on a podcast platform, 5 stars. Please, 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 I beg of you.